right, and welcome to another episode of Sports Bears, an insight into the business world of pro sports. Man, I hope you guys are well, man. Hope you guys are all well. You're with your host, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela. And man, pushing 127 episodes, all right? You are now tuned into 127, episode number 127. It's been a hell of a journey, you know, to be honest, a hell of a journey. And to just keep going, I won't lie to you guys, man, it's just, you know, it's been nothing but, you know, a blessing for me. You know, I really, really love talking, you know, sports, pro sports, amateur sports, any type of sporting code, any type of level, you know, with regards to sports. But obviously, because the podcast is mainly dealing with the business end or the business side of professional sports, it's just, it's nothing but a privilege, you know. And long may we continue, you know, long may we continue. And I mean, yeah, like I'm saying, I mean, this is, you know, just the beginning part of the podcast. So today, we're basically going to talk about, we're going to mash it up a little bit, all right? Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about the J League, because actually the season now is very close to its ending. I know in the J1 competition, they've got, I think, about three more games left. Yeah, three more games left. And then within the J2 competition, actually, this coming weekend is the last game for each, for all teams. It's game number, I think, 42. It's week 42. So, you know, it's a do or die situation for most teams. And we're actually going to talk about the teams that are up for promotion, you know, with regards to getting into the J1 competition. One team actually has already been confirmed to join the J1 league for next season, coming up from the J2. And they've had a phenomenal season, you know. And what's funny is they're actually not that far away from where I live. So every time I'm taking the, you know, the train, commuting and stuff like that, between, you know, Kanagawa and Tokyo, I've actually been seeing a lot of their fans, you know, rocking their merchandise, you know, their playing jerseys and stuff. So you could kind of just see that these were people that believed from the beginning of the season that, you know what, we could actually get into top flight football by the end of the season. And that's exactly what's about to happen, you know. That's exactly what's guaranteed to happen. You know, they've already been confirmed as the champions of the J2 competition, and they are well on their way, all right? But we're going to talk about more of that after the break. You know, just before we go into the break, actually, I just wanted to take this time to just really thank, you know, just the people that have agreed to just come on and have a chat with me, you know. It's really been great to, you know, to just hear people's journeys and to find out the paths, the challenges, the triumphs, you know, the tribulations that people had to face in order to get to where they got, you know, within their sporting journeys. And again, I'm grateful to the people that gave me their time. And to those who didn't want to come on, like, I don't hold anything against you, you know. But I will do somewhat of a semi-vent that, listen, if you don't want to come and have a chat with me on my podcast, I don't really mind. It's okay. Like, the podcast will continue whether you come and have a chat with me or not. But what I don't appreciate, man, is you reach out to someone that you've known for quite some time, you know. You reach out to someone you've known for quite some time, and I don't know where you two started beefing, you know, to the point where the person, all they could have said was just a resounding no. They could have just said no. But this person, man, that I've known for a long time, you know, we literally came up the Blue Bulls youth rugby ranks together. So I reached out to him, you know, if he was interested in coming to have a chat. And instead of the guy saying no, firstly, he blue ticks me, doesn't answer my message. Cool, whatever. And then he goes on his freaking Instagram and he posts some cryptic message and says, shout out to the people that doubted him or played him or tried him. And then he shows like these zap signs and stuff like that, like flipping them off. So I'm like, okay, this post is posted like shortly after I've reached out to him. And I'm like, wow, maybe that was aimed at me, people like me. I don't know. I'm just saying it was a cryptic message. But all I'm saying is if the person just wanted to say no, they could have just said no. And, you know, we could have kept it moving. But anyway, that's the mini vent that I wanted to make. That if I reach out to you and you don't want to do the podcast, a no, or fine, if you don't want to answer me, then don't answer me. But you don't have to go off now and be, you know, beating your chest and, you know, sending cryptic messages and saying shout out to people that tried you. Number one, if you are referring to me, when did I try you? When did I doubt you? You know? But the message, like I'm saying, the way I interpret it is the person maybe expected me to reach out to them earlier than I did to have them on as a guest. And because I've waited until, you know, we're on episode 100 and something, maybe he felt some type of way. I don't know. I'm just saying that it was just weird for me that I reached out and then shortly after saw the cryptic message on his Instagram story flipping people off and saying that shout out to the people that doubted, tried him and didn't believe in him. And I'm like, okay. But anyway, man, you know, wish the brother well, you know, it's all good. Like Scott used to say, man, on skremaka vie langsi pad, you know, we'll meet each other again on our next journey to the middle. You know, be careful on shitting on people. Because you never know when we might run into each other again, you know. But anyway, moving on, man. You know, we keep our vibes positive on this podcast. You know, we talk positivity, man. We're all about growth. We're all about elevation. So, yeah. So I'll see you guys after the break. And we will dive into today's episode. All right, stay tuned and do not go anywhere. See you guys soon. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, in an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. And everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, you know. My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right, that's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back after that break. And just going into today's episode, I'd just like to, you know, give a further shout out and a thank you to our other sponsors. Thank you to Nike Australia, Nike Company, man. You know, for just being a sponsor of ours and for just being an affiliate partner, brand partner to us. You know, everything I've learned, or everything I'm continuing to learn about, you know, the sneaker game, I definitely accredit to, you know, to brands like Nike, working with brands like Nike and the previous brand we worked with as well. Shout out to them, you know. Yeah, just thank you for just giving me the introduction and for just teaching me about, you know, the logistics and the process of, you know, sneaker making. Yeah, and I mean, a brand like Nike, you know, I'm not even going to go into depth about them. You guys already know who they are. So I'll just let you check out their online store using our affiliate link. I'll make sure to drop it on the description of the podcast. I mean, these guys, they just keep coming out with the best, you know, with the freshest stuff. So make sure you check them out. And obviously, as we're now also transitioning into the winter period, especially out here in the Northern Hemisphere, I'm pretty sure Nike's already all stocked up for the winter season. So make sure you check their stuff out for the season. And obviously, if you're on the other side of the world, on a different hemisphere, you can enjoy their summer wear, as you guys next month will be going into the summer period. So make sure you check out their summer fresh tees, man. You know the classic white Nike tees, and you know all their other good stuff that they might have. So make sure you check them out. And obviously, by using our affiliate link, not only are you supporting our podcast, but you're also able to qualify for certain discount codes, all right? Terms and conditions do apply, however. And then thank you to MyProtein. Thank you to them. I mean, we're nearly going on 2 years now being an affiliate brand for these guys. And make sure to check out their online store, you know, for the newest supplements, for the healthiest supplements that you can get. Whether you're a person who's into hitting the gym hard, or you're just a person who just likes to be healthy and, you know, take multivitamins, vitamin supplements, you know, certain protein, BCAA, whatever your poison, you know, make sure to check out their online store. And I will make sure to drop the link to their online store on the description of the podcast as well. And then lastly, thank you to 365 Games UK. Shout out to them for all the gaming entertainment they keep providing. All right, if you're an avid gamer, into video games, make sure to check out their online store. All right, I'll make sure to also drop their link on the description of the podcast. And again, by using the affiliate link, you'll be supporting the podcast and you may be able to qualify for certain discount codes. With them, T's and C's do also apply. All right, so let me just clear my throat. Going into today's episode, let me just have some water. All right, episode number 127, man. So today's episode, our discussion is basically looking at, you know, J2 League teams up for promotion into the J1 competition for 2024, as well as, you know, we're also going to talk about, you know, professional athletes getting traded in the middle of the season, all right? We're going to dive in and we're just going to give our thoughts, you know, to the whole process. Obviously, when a certain decision like this comes, you know, when players get traded mid-season, or maybe coaches get fired mid-season and new coaches come on or new players are signed mid-season, obviously it's a business move by the said club, you know. And we're actually going to dive deep into, I guess, the psychological effect of the whole thing, as well as also explain why sometimes, you know, teams sort of have to do or sort of make a decision on making these kind of moves. So just to start off with, let's talk J2 League. So basically, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that the J2 competition only has about two more games left. One more game left. This coming weekend is the conclusion. It will be the conclusion of the season. And obviously, Machida Zalvia, they were confirmed winners. I mean, they are miles ahead, you know, compared to the other teams in the competition. So they are definitely guaranteed that they will be promoted into the J1 competition, okay? And I mean, with this happening, and I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, Machida Zalvia, I haven't really, how can I say this? I didn't really pay attention to them much this season. I really thought that this season was going to be dominated by, well, the other team hasn't surprised me. Shimizu S-Pulse, not surprised that they're dominating now. But I did have my doubts about them beginning of the season, because last year, end of last year, they got relegated into the J2 League competition. And man, they had a rocky start to the J2 League competition. Coming from J1, you know, after being relegated from J1 and entering the J2 season, they struggled, you know, basically getting started this season. I think the first 3 or 5 games, man, they were just drawing the whole time. And at one point, they were like down to like number 9, number 10 in the J2 League competition. And then once they changed coaches, you know, things changed for them and they, you know, started climbing up. But Machida, man, I honestly never saw it coming. And they're actually the team that I'm talking about, that every time I traveled or commuted using the train to Tokyo, I started seeing these people, you know, especially when I get to like Machida Station, just wearing, you know, Machida wear, you know, their merchandise and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't know Machida had this much of a support system. And I guess they could kind of see that, you know, their team was looking good to potentially land up on the number one spot. Excuse me. And that's exactly what happened. As the season went on, man, Machida Zalvia, they just started, you know, just climbing up the ranks and just really asserting their dominance. And then, boof, by the end of like mid-season, these guys are like miles ahead of the rest of the teams. And I think for them, they were confirmed to be moving up to the J1 competition. I think there were like there were still like 5 games remaining. But I think they've solidified and they've gotten all the goal differences and wins under their belt to the point that it was like, all right, it doesn't matter how well, because Shimizu S-Pulse is number 2. It was like, it doesn't matter how well Shimizu S-Pulse performs towards the end of the season, they aren't winning the league. All right. So they were confirmed league winners with like 5 games to go. So they definitely get an automatic promotion into J1 for 2024. But in just looking at Shimizu, man, and the journey that they've had to travel, you know, not to be biased or anything, but because this is the one team that I've gone to visit so many times, I sort of developed like a bias towards them, you know, and just witnessing their rise and their fight back into, you know, the upper standings of the J2, because my thing was, damn, man, it's bad enough to get relegated, but now if you're going to get relegated from J1 and then be struggling in the J2, the way things were looking, they were potentially going to find themselves playing J3, you know. But after they fired their coach and got back into the, like, you know, climbing up the ranks of the J2, they found themselves, because they went on like, I promise you, and I kid you not, they went on like a 10-game or 12-game winning streak you know, where they weren't losing. It was just win after win after win after win. And I think after they were able to rack up those wins, you know, and it was during the summer period, like early spring, summer period, I think that's where they really got to cover a lot of ground. And here they are, finding themselves at number two. Their only threat is at number three, and I think this team is like 1 point behind them, is Jubilo Iwate, you know. And Jubilo Iwate was actually also came down from the J1 competition last season. So I think last week's win against Omiya for the Shimizu S-Pulse was really crucial, because they went out and they blew Omiya by 4-0. You know? And by doing that, I think they really put themselves sort of like in a good place where this weekend, I think even if they get a draw and let's say Machida wins, I think Shimizu S-Pulse, with the whole goal difference thing, they can still get the automatic qualification. Because for automatic qualification into the J1 competition, I think 1 and 2 in the J2, they automatically go up. And then I think number 3, 4... I think that, yeah, number 3, 4, 5, and 6 go into like a playoff promotion relegation thing against J1 teams, I think, you know. So, or is it number 3 and 4? I'm not sure. Yeah, somewhere there. But all I know is 3 and 4, like the more than two teams are given an opportunity to potentially move up to the J1 competition. 1 and 2 gain automatic promotion, and then I think number 3, 4, 5, and 6 go into like a playoff berth where they play against J1 teams to see if they could potentially, you know, make it to the J1 competition. But yeah, that's a long shot. So I think what Shimizu don't want is they don't want to be in a situation where they have to be in a playoff, you know, because when that happens, man, it, you know, the game could go either way. You know, I think for them, they just want to finish top two and then just gain automatic promotion where they don't have to worry about playing the potential playoff game, you know, for promotion relegation. So shout out to them. And so they blew Omiya out the park, and the way they were playing, you could see the intent, man, the intensity, the urgency that the team was playing with. Santana was on fire. Shimizu S-Pulse striker. He was amazing, man. Scored some brilliant goals and really gave his team like the, I'm going to use a rugby term in soccer now, he gave his team the go forward momentum that they needed, you know. And the wingers, the Shimizu wingers, were also amazing, you know. The Brazilian players that are playing, they are, you know, they're playing a phenomenal game. But yeah, so as things are looking, and obviously the Shimizu crowd is really getting behind them, and they're really showing that support that, okay, you know, they believe that their team can really do this. Because, you know, Shimizu S-Pulse, they're the only team in the town of Shimizu, you know. So, like, their home crowd, man, they really back them. That's what you really love. I promise you, if you're ever in Japan, make sure you take a train to Shimizu in Shizuoka. Because when you get out of the station, everything you see at the station is promoting Shimizu S-Pulse. It's just marketing for the team. And as soon as you get out of the stadium and are going to catch a bus, everything, again, is just Shimizu S-Pulse. So they're very aggressive in their marketing. And then when you're traveling through town, every second, like, merch store that you see there is just Shimizu S-Pulse, Shimizu S-Pulse. And then the team also has like a theme park where they've got roller coasters. You know, imagine that. They've got a theme park where they've got roller coasters. And again, it's owned by the club, by the football club, Shimizu S-Pulse. So anything that you do in Shimizu, you're guaranteed to be affiliated with Shimizu S-Pulse in some shape or form. You know, whether you're going shopping, because they've got a shopping mall as well. So whether you're going shopping, you know, you're going to be affiliated with S-Pulse. whether you are looking for football merch, because they've got their own like club merch store, which is in town as well. So if you want to buy a Shimizu S-Pulse soccer t-shirt, you're definitely going to get it there in their merch store. If you want to go watch a game, you can go watch it at the stadium. If you want to visit the team facility, like, you know, when I was an intermediary, when I was a football intermediary slash agent, that's pretty much what you could do as well, you know. I'm still an agent, by the way, when I was an intermediary. So basically, when I was an intermediary, every time I went to go visit the team facility, it was the same thing as well. It's just the town is literally dominated by the brand name of Shimizu S-Pulse, you know. So, I definitely implore you, visit Shimizu. And you yourself, as the visitor in the town, you sort of end up falling in love with the team and being like, okay, I understand why this team is so popular here, because it's just, it's everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you know. And they've got amazing training facilities, like where their academy trains, man. It like overlooks the Shimizu Bay Area. So, which is really, it's really amazing. Like they've got such a beautiful view. It's like, flip, if I played football and I was in an academy, I would definitely want to be in an academy like this, where, fuck, you're just overlooking, you know, the ocean, the Bay Area, you know, while getting your training and stuff. And they've got big plans, man. Like they've got big plans. They're really trying to work hard to bolster their academy, to bring through young players. And you know, with the last discussions that we had over there, they were like, yeah, they definitely want me to be the link with the African continent, because they do want, over the next coming years, they do want to invest in bringing like youthful African players, you know, to go over, develop them. And then obviously when these players become of age, if they're good enough to obviously stay with the club, they'll get a contract offer. If not, then they'll be marketed to other clubs like all over the world and stuff. So it's a win-win for everybody, you know. It's a win-win for everybody, because again, you know, professional football is a business. And when players are developed within the system, I mean, these are things that are within the FIFA football agent regulations, or the FIFA regulations, that if a player is developed in a certain system or academy, and that player maybe doesn't get a contract with that team, but gets a contract with another team, that other team has to compensate the team that developed the player. All right. It's called training compensation. All right. It's called training compensation. And these are the rules under FIFA. So it is a thing that is, you know, that teams do most of the time, especially when they don't plan on keeping the player. All right. So, yeah, man, so those are the plans that we were discussing the last time, you know, I went there for a visit, that, you know, they definitely, in the next coming seasons or in the next coming years, they want to start putting more finances behind their academy structures, because they're like, currently, they're not, I mean, they've got players in their academies, but they're like, they want to try diversify it, you know, by having players from different nationalities. So we'll see. We'll see. But so shout out to them, and as really Shimizu S-Pulse are really looking in a good position to move back up to the J1 competition. And rightly so, they really deserve it. Like I said, you know, coming from where they came from at the beginning of the season, it'll definitely be a fairy tale ending to their season to see them back in the J1. And it's also going to do good for the society of Shimizu, because then when their team is playing a top flight, you know, it's more sponsors for the team, and the team will, you know, hopefully be able to sign better players. So commercially and financially, it really makes sense, because as I said, Shimizu is an amazing city or town. It's a town. It's not a very big city. It's a town in Shimizu, little beach town, but it's amazing. But yeah, from an economic standpoint and a commercial standpoint, it really would do the team the world of good for them to move back up to the J1 competition. because I can imagine that when they got relegated last season, I'm pretty certain that they took a financial hit, you know. Those are the unfortunate parts of teams getting relegated, is the fact that, never mind the fact that, you know, pride-wise, the team takes a hit. Brand-wise, the team takes a hit. But it's actually the financial side that really takes a hit, because sponsors are very fickle. Sponsors only deal with winners. So if your team gets relegated, sponsors pull out and they try to find other teams to sponsor that are at top flight, you know. So those are the things you deal with. And obviously, you also lose quality players because, again, especially your superstars, because they want to stay playing top flight, you know, football. So chances are they get poached by other teams. So they did lose a bit of personnel. I remember the last meeting, face-to-face meeting I went to, they told me that, you know, prior to the season beginning of 2022, man, they lost so many good players because the good players wanted to stay in J1 competition. So obviously their agents were able to make that happen with the guys, you know, were signed to play with other clubs. However, the team was able to retain other quality players, because I know they were really stressed about Santana, the superstar striker that's playing for Espals, because when the team got relegated, he was getting offers left, right and center from big clubs, you know, around Tokyo and other big clubs within the competition of the J1 league. But, you know, he decided that he wanted to stay with Shimizu and he wanted to be part of the fight back into the J1 competition. And lo and behold, you know, he's going to be a part of it. I don't know. You get athletes like that who take on that challenge that, you know what, I'm not going to jump ship when I see that this ship is sinking. That he's actually going to stay and fight to get back into it, you know. And I guess it's more of a gratifying feeling for him, knowing that he stayed with Shimizu in their darkest time. And now, look what's happening. Now they are literally one game away from getting back to top flight football. So I'm sure that feeling of accomplishment that he's feeling now is basically what he was chasing. That's why he decided to stay. And respect to him, man. Not a lot of players do that. Not a lot of players do that. Other players are like, listen, sorry for you guys, but yeah, I'm looking after myself first. And again, players who make that decision, I never fault them. Because at the end of the day, they need to think about their careers. And I mean, fuck it. If they're able to stay at top flight, earn big money, and, you know, and play with a good team, why not? You know, so both players who make those kind of decisions, like the ones who choose to stay, you know, good on them. Personally, I don't always support it because I'm always like, yeah, you choosing to be loyal, but guess what? When it makes financial sense for this team, they might get rid of you. But, you know, to each his own. And the ones who make the decision to look out for themselves first, I don't fault them. In fact, I applaud them for being brave enough to put themselves first, you know. So for me, if you were to ask me personally what I would do, yeah, I'd probably do what the other players do, that you look for an opportunity where you're going to go to a team where you're going to play top flight and obviously make more money, play in a bigger market. That's just me. All right, so that is pretty much the J2 league talk. So again, congratulations to Machida Zalvia on their promotion to the J1 competition. And I'm going to put my congratulations to Shimizu on ice, because everything is going to depend on how Jubilo Iwate does this weekend and how Shimizu does this weekend as well. So I'm going to give them a, how can I say? I don't want to say complimentary. A pending congratulations. I'm going to give them a pending congratulations. But I have a feeling that Espals has gotten this one in the bag. So Good luck, gentlemen. Good luck. Good luck to Koike-san, good luck to Daigo, and good luck to the Shimizu S-Pals family. Okay, so in moving on, so our next segment or the topic or our next topic for today's podcast, man, we're going to talk about, you know, players getting traded mid-season, you know, coaches getting fired mid-season, new players or new coaches getting signed mid-season. And just to look at players getting traded, all right? So now let's compare between the different sports. Let's start off with, let's say in professional soccer. Now, the one thing you can appreciate within soccer is that when a player is traded mid-season, whether it's, okay, we're not going to talk about the winter transfer because that's actually in the off-season. Well, okay, off-season in some football markets. So let's talk about, yeah, the transfer windows. In professional football, when a player is going to get traded during the transfer window, whether it's summer or winter transfer period, the player is kind of aware of what's happening. Like, I don't think, you know, in football, or let me just say in the football market that I've been working with, it has never happened whereby a player found out through the news or found out through the papers or found out on the day that, okay, I'm getting traded. You know, what usually happens is if a player is going to move in the transfer window, a meeting is held, you know, with him and his agent. Some of the clubs try to renegotiate, maybe keeping the player longer, or a discussion is had where both parties make the mutual decision to part ways. You know, so that's within professional soccer. So when the transfer window is coming up, in fact, some players, you know, make those demands that, okay, they want to move. Again, we'll make an example like Andre Iniesta. Iniesta announced way before the transfer window even opened, like this was still in the beginning of the 2023 season, that listen, because he's not in the starting lineup, he has a desire to move during the transfer window, summer transfer. And the team was able to hear his grievance and they were able to grant him that. You understand what I'm saying? And all the other players as well, I'm sure all the other ones where the team was planning on moving on from them, maybe a month before it happened, they were probably called into the office with their agent to have the discussion with them that, listen, we've decided in this summer transfer, the team has decided to put you up for transfer. You know, I'm pretty certain, you know, because you've never heard any Japanese players go out into the media where they openly express that, I didn't know I was getting traded. I just found out today, or I found out by watching the news that, oh, I'm actually getting traded, you know. So that's a comparison I guess you could make within football, is that at least there is some sort of like communication. So players are able to get their affairs in order. Especially also if a player is going to get traded in the transfer window where it's their off-season. So for players in the Northern Hemisphere, well, not actually Northern Hemisphere, for players in other football markets, their off-season is the summer transfer. Now, in a market like Japan, the summer transfer is actually mid-season. The off-season is the winter season. You know, so obviously, when we're approaching the off-season, players, coaches are sort of aware that, okay, the club isn't going to move forward with me, so I can start getting my affairs in order and I can start getting myself sorted out. All right. So that's what usually happens, at least for them, that there is that, you know, sense of communication whereby if we look at a sport like basketball, you know, we compare now with professional basketball. Man, in professional basketball, it's dirty because especially when you're looking at sporting markets like the US, when you're looking at the NBA, where it happens every single time where some players have no idea that they're getting traded. So when the trading period starts, you've got players who have no idea that the team doesn't want them anymore. The teams are just wheeling and dealing, you know, which is pretty brutal because, again, you've had guys go on podcasts, man, and just have the discussion about them finding out that they got traded while watching the news, you know, while having breakfast, getting ready to go to training. Then they hear that, oh, the so-and-so team has traded so-and-so for so-and-so. And you're like, what the f-? You know? And I mean, because imagine this. This player, let's say this guy has just bought a house in this market that he's playing in. Let's say it's a person who's playing in New York or a person who's playing in L.A., or Washington, D.C., whatever. They've just bought a house or just bought an apartment. Their kids are in school. You know, their whole family, their wife is there. They're literally settled. And then the bomb drops that, listen, you've just been traded. You know, I think it's a bit harsh. You know, it's a bit harsh. So now literally this guy, especially when, never mind the fact that it's a player that's been released or cut, when they're being told, no, you've been traded to a team they didn't even want to go to. So now they've got to uproot in the middle of the night and move to a different city. All because the team decided that, okay, we're going to move this player, we're going to move that player for this. And I mean, when teams are doing all of that, to them, it's all an economical game, guys. Because they're trying to make sure that they've got cap space by moving this player and this player. For them, it's an economic power move. It really is an economic power move, especially when it's a player that just isn't playing to the value of their contract, if you know what I mean. They are usually the players that a team is willing to wheel and deal, no doubt. Because to them, it's like this player is just not worth this amount of money, so we're going to move him to make sure that we're able to make back some, you know, get back some of this cap space that we want. You know, so those are the economic and financial power moves teams make, and it's business at the end of the days. And I mean, players, they try not to get too, how can I say, emotionally caught up in it, but you can sort of tell, man, that you're hurting, especially if you had integrated within that society. And then all of a sudden, it's like in the middle of the night, you've got to pack your bags. You've got to be in Washington, or you've got to be in Milwaukee, or you've got to be in Denver, LA, New York, wherever. New place, new city, new chapter, all overnight, you know. And obviously, by getting to these places, you need to adjust and you need to assimilate and, you know, get accustomed, you know, to the team culture and everything. Because it's actually mid-season, you know, so you aren't even given enough time to actually make that adjustment. It's like, all right, you're here, you better, you know, you got to start playing. You've been traded, you know, so it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one with the lack of communication. And I think, yeah, my suspicion is it's pretty much prevalent in all American sports, because again, it's not only basketball players that have actually come out to say these things, that listen, on any given time, you could find out that you've been traded, you know, all of a sudden. And when I actually think about it, in American football, it's the same situation as well, because you've had players also mention that, yep, I found out I got traded, you know, while working out at home, that, oh, the team's decided to move on from me. You know, so it's wild, man. NFL is wild. But it is what it is. You know, that's the business of it. That's the business of professional sports. And then just comparing now with rugby. All right, so I'll make a third comparison. With rugby, as far as I know, and in the markets that I've played, you know, I know that in South Africa, when a team was about to release you, like they never just released you for no reason. The one thing I will give to rugby teams in South Africa is that, again, I'm not speaking for all teams. I'm speaking with the ones I've dealt with, that they did have meetings with players. All right. They made sure to arrange a meeting between a player with his agent, where you have a sit down, and then basically the team would let you know that, all right, we've decided we're not moving. You know, we've decided that moving forward, we're going in a different direction. you know, you're free to seek other options and da-da-da-da-da. But at least there is that sense of communication. It's not like players find out that, oh, the team has decided to move on from them, like, before they do. Like, they don't find out from the news or find out from blogs or any other sort of media or publications, you know. There is some sort of communication, you know. That's the one thing you can give respect to. But other clubs abroad, I can't say the same thing, because I think Cheslin Kolbe, his situation, you know, and I mean, I've talked about this before, but his situation, I think he was sort of almost blindsided when Toulon decided not to move forward with him, because, excuse me, again, his contract, he had one more year left of his contract. So approaching the end of the season, the team just decided that, okay, they've decided that they want to cancel the contract, because again, they're looking at it from a financial standpoint and economic, that they actually want to get back some of that money that they're paying him. Because when this guy was actually playing for Toulon, I think he was one of the highest paid wingers, or one of the highest paid players, period. You know, so for them to just make an abrupt decision that, listen, we just don't believe that you're worth the money that we're paying you at the moment, so we've decided to not move forward with you, I think that was a bit foul. And you could tell it was really hurting him, because, I mean, he went and talked about it on his Instagram. He shared a story about it, but obviously he wasn't saying it in a malice way. He was just thanking the people of Toulon, the fans, the team, for having him. But you could tell it was coming from a broken heart, that because he did not foresee this coming, because he still had one more year left on his contract. So as much as the team didn't trade him mid-season, it was a bit of a blindside, because they just decided to cancel his contract in the middle of, you know, in the middle of his contract, pretty much. All right. So maybe his situation isn't the best example, because again, it happened in the off season, but still, it's the mere fact that he still had one more year to go on his contract. I guess that's the foul part I find. But again, they did at least communicate with him. It's not like he found out through the news that Toulon have decided not to move forward with him. So I guess we'll have to give them grace with regards to that. But I still think what Toulon did was foul. You know, they should not have done, especially to someone who had decided to be loyal to them. You know, even if you want to get rid of the player, at least, you know, there was a more dignified way to do it, I believe. Way more dignified way to do it. But anyway, we're not going to focus on that. So that is pretty much, you know, the chat about players getting traded mid-season. Now, to give just, you know, my thoughts on the whole topic. Look, morally speaking, man, I'm pretty sure when you're looking at it from a moral perspective, that it's a tough one, you know, to be settled in a place. Again, like I said, your kids are in school, your wife is part of the society over there, you are part of the society over there, you've just bought yourself a property over there, and then boom, you're traded, and now you have to uproot and leave mid-season. You know, the family adjustments, I'm pretty sure, are pretty tough. So from a moral standpoint, I do think it does cause a bit of a rift. Well, not rift, but it does shake up the boat of a family, because now, you know, they've got to scramble and they've got to make these adjustments. But obviously, if you've got the right family structure where the husband has to go to that place, gets to the new place, settles, and then the family follows him later on, that's understandable. You know, and then I think that's what most of these athletes do, is they're the ones who leave and go to the new city and they get things set up over there. And then obviously the kids then look to move schools, you know. But my only worry is now what happens when the father or the mother, if she's a pro athlete as well, what happens if they're getting traded like every 2 years? Then that means that the kids also have to move like every 2 years and stuff. So it's tough in that stability and adjustment sort of thing. But hey, that's the business of it, you know. So from a moral point, I do think that it's better to wait for the end of the season for players to get traded, because I think mid-season, it's really too much of a shake-up, you know, to the family structure. But again, teams don't care about that. Teams don't care about that. They care about their bottom line. How you sort out your family stuff, life, hey, that's on you, you know. So I get it. I get it. And then from a business standpoint, or from a business perspective, I kind of understand why teams do it to some extent. Because imagine you sign a player for this amount of money. He gets there and he's not giving you that same, you know, that amount of production that you're paying him for. You know, and some teams are not patient to wait for the end of the season to get rid of him. Some of them are like, no, man, move this guy so that we can, you know, maybe get him for a player for less market value, and then we're able to save and get, you know, some of that cap space back. You know, so when you're looking at it from an accounting, from an accounting decision, accounting and finance decision, you sort of understand why some teams are just not willing to be patient with a player. They're like, we're paying this guy X amount of money, but what we're getting in terms of production is just not matching, you know, what we're paying for. So rather we get someone better at obviously a reasonable price, and we're able to make some of this money back, get some of that cap space back. And who knows, maybe we might use that money to buffer, as a buffer, to sign another superstar in the offseason. You know, so these are, you know, power, financial and economic moves that, you know, professional sports teams are always thinking about when it comes to, you know, making these kind of decisions, you know. So it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. For me, though, personally, I do feel like at least give the player until the end of the season before you trade him, man. Don't do it mid-season unless it's a mutual decision. Unless it's a mutual decision that maybe both of you are just not happy and it would be better for you to part ways during the season, in mid-season, then I understand. Or I understand, like I said, in the soccer space where players try take advantage of the transfer window and they have that communication with the club that, listen, we tried, but as we can see, it's not working. So in the off-season, you can trade me. If that kind of communication exists, then I understand, because it gives the player enough time to start making arrangements with their family about the potential move. That's just my opinion about it when it comes to trading players. But look, it's a discussion we could have forever, man, because there's points for and points against in both discussions. But yeah, that's just how I feel. I really do feel that more communication needs to be done with regards to making such decisions, and not let guys find out through media outlets, the news, or, you know, or find out when they get to the facility that, oh yeah, you've been traded. I really think that's foul. Anyway, guys, so that's pretty much the discussion, man, today. Like I said, always a pleasure for me to bring you guys, you know, this kind of content. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. So before I go, I just want to, you know, just to thank everyone who listens, man. And thank you for those who give me positive feedback, you know, regarding the podcast. And thank you to those who support the podcast. And you can keep supporting the podcast by copying our podcast merchandise. You know, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, we've got amazing new merch that we launched about a month or two ago. We've got amazing, you know, Japanese style, you know, kanji merchandise that we've created, that they've got like the Japanese writing, you know, on the chest. And the meaning actually of our Japanese kanji line that you can see now on the t-shirts is Setsubun. So Setsubun is pretty much the end of the winter period, and embracing a new season. It's basically the end of a season and embracing a new season. And the symbolism in Japanese culture for that as well is you're pretty much shedding off the bad omens or the bad vibes, and you're welcoming luck and fortune to yourself. So that's why I was like, I need to have this, you know, on the chest of my t-shirt. Setsubun. So it's basically embracing a new season with positivity and leaving an old season with all its negativity. All right. So make sure you check out our Japanese style merchandise on our merch store. And then obviously we've got our Sports Biz podcast merch. That's also, you know, our merchandise basically promoting our Sports Biz podcast. It's also available on our website as well. And you can cop all this merchandise at www.sportsbizpodcastmerch.com. All right, you can get this over there. And then lastly, as you know, many of you may know who follow the podcast, a few weeks ago, we released our first new shoe line. All right, we're really going into this merchandising biz, man. So we released our first sneaker line, and I'm so proud of it, man. VL Sir. Make sure to check that out. I'll also make sure to drop the link to our sneaker line on the description of the podcast. Check them out, then. They're amazing. So beautiful. And thank you to everyone who's given me, you know, just props and positive feedback on the shoes. They are currently available from our distributor. All right. I'll make sure to drop the link of our distributor on the description of the podcast, and you can check them out, man. And yeah, you can cop them. All right. Make sure you cop our shoes, our sneaker line. They are first sneakers. We're definitely planning on releasing more, you know, in the coming years. But yeah, we thought we'd just give you these for now. VL Sir. So make sure you get your pair today. All right. Thank you guys, man. And I'll see you guys next time. Take care. And in Japanese, we say, Otsukaresama. Otsukaresama desu. Take care, guys. Cheers. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports. We lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.